Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, hey, friends, it's Monday night again, and it's Raising Expectations time. Thanks for tuning in, as we always say, to your show, Raising Expectations, right here on BBSRadio.com and BBS TV. We're glad that you're with us tonight. It's always a blessing. We never take for granted the fact that you tune in and watch us each week. And our prayer is that not only will God work in your lives, but that we'll become your family. That we'll be kind of your on-the-tube family or on the radio, in the earbud family. Whatever it might be, we're just glad to be with you there, whatever that might be on Mondays. As you already know, we're all Christians. We love God with all our hearts. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we believe God is who he says he is, as we always say, and does what he says he's going to do. He sent his son to die on the cross, which he did. He freely gave his life to pay the price for our sins, and we know that he works in our life each and every day. It's so great to wake up in the morning and know that the birds are singing, or if you're in Los Angeles, they're coughing. But whatever the case might be, it's so great to wake up and know that God is a plan just for you. And he's getting ready to go for that day. And when your feet hit the floor and your prayers sent up, God starts you in the footprints that he prepared for you before the foundation of the world, it tells us in Ephesians 2. So glad that you're with us tonight. We hope you know the Lord. And if you don't, you can always reach any one of us. We'd love to pray with you all about that. So we're going to start tonight. We've got, again, our great guest, part of our family. We say guests, but really these are special family people to be with us. And we're just going to introduce quickly ourselves again, as we always do. Again, I'm Pastor Joe, and this is my wife, Melba. She's right here on the right, and we're coming to you together tonight. We've been married three weeks now, and I'm pretty excited about that. I think I got that one right.
Don't start.
Actually, 4 weeks, yeah. Shouldn't have done that one, Terry, huh? Whoops.
Save yourself.
Save yourself, yeah. So in any event, we're just glad because we're here together. We love the Lord, and we are so thankful that you're here. And on the West Coast, out in near Santa Barbara, and we have Dr. Paul Hall, part of our team for so many years, as you know. Dr. Paul is there in Lompoc, California, and he is a retired pastor. Pastors never retire. He helps people all day long in so many different ways. He loves the Lord. He loves the Word of God, and he's just one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. He's always, always blessing and helping others with the life that he lives, the prayers that he sends, basically the person that God made him. And we love Paul. We're so glad he's there. He's been my friend a long time, and I thank God for him. 55 years. Yeah, we'll just move along now. But anyway, that's a long
time. Good choice.
So Paul and I are going to join together, and we're going to go all the way back to the East Coast, which is actually the south side of the East Coast. So that makes it the Southeast or the East South, depending on your perspective, whatever it might be. And you'll find us there in the city of Dalton, Georgia. And right there we have, as you know, Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. And tonight, Steph's not with us, but we do have Dr. Craig. Craig is a surgeon. He's a trauma surgeon. He's a great man of God. He loves the Word of God, and God uses him to bless countless people. He's been a surgeon missionary, as well as working in trauma centers and helping people all over the place. He's incredible. He has a great book out, and if you go to our website, bbsradio.com, /racing expectations. You'll find there's a couple of weeks ago's guest, and there you see some of the story there. Just kind of scroll down. You read about all of us and what's going on, and you'll find that Craig there has his book up there, and his book is a great book. You're going to want to get a copy of it, and it's simply called Saved. And Saved is a book where he explains how through his life he found God in the ordinary things of his life. Sometimes we want this big flash or big razzmatazz. Sometimes God does his greatest work in the ordinary things when you wake up and you say, wow, God's there just like he said he'd be. He talks all about this. So the title there is Saved, One Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. You'll want to get to know Dr. Thayer. He's a blessing. He's a brother in Christ, and he's someone who will encourage and strengthen your life just knowing him. You can get a hold of him right there on the website. You can get his book right there also. So you want to touch base there. And the same with Steph. You'll get a hold of Steph. She's also on the website. You can read all about her there, what she's doing. And I know that you won't want to miss her either. She's not there with him tonight, but there you'll see right on the website. You can check in with Steph. And so if Craig and Paul and Melba and I just hop on the plane and head east, as you always know, we're going to jump over Alabama, straight over Mississippi, straight through Louisiana, and start a descent into the thriving metropolis, as they always say, of McKinney, which is pretty big, but actually you're going to have to land in Dallas. But there you're going to find one of our favorite pastors in all the world, and that's Ron McKinney. Hey, Mom. Yeah,
That's
see, you did.
great.
Yeah, Ron Greer, Ron McKinney, just checking to see if he's paying attention. Hey, guys, when you tune in with us, you're part of the family too. It's all you know this and the things you say. Ron Greer's, oh, I'll tell you, he's one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. He's got a resume behind him of serving God all through his life. The things he's learned, the things he's done, the people he shared with, and what he's doing now. You'll find out written about him on our website there. He's with Man in the Mirror. There's Ron. Yeah, there's Ron Greer, area director for, as I was saying, Man in the Mirror, which is based out of Georgia, I think, or Florida, Northern Florida. But Ron covers McKinney, Texas, and North Texas there, and he just helps men to understand what God is doing in their lives. And when they need some direction and guidance, Ron, with the experience that he has and the love he has for Christ, is right there to share that love with him. And tell you what, he's changed a lot of lives and seen what's happened because he walks with God this way. So, Ron, we love you, man. It's good to have you with us tonight, all the way from Greer, Texas. So, anyway. Anyway, it's great. That's McKinney, folks. If you happen to look it up on a map, there is no Greer, Texas. Why somebody send me a note, Ron, and say there is a Greer, Texas? We have 100 people. We're here.
Someone pray. Someone pray,
Guarantee
please.
It's on the map somewhere. Watch me. I'll get a card and letter on that one. But anyway, I'm glad about to get an elbow from Melba on this one. But anyway, moving along here. We're excited that you're with us tonight. You know, we have with us again Terry Warner, part of our family. She and Dave live in the Dallas area there. And she is the author, as you know, of Trainwreck to Triumph. Great book, a great study work, a great book to teach you about journaling and what your walk with Christ. And we've been talking about forgiveness. We've been looking into the beginning of what we begin to feel. She's got something she wants to share, so we're going to welcome her tonight, and I'm going to ask her to just share, just jump right ahead before we get going, and share something she's doing. You know, we offer our books and our materials to our family, to everybody right off of our site too, or their site. She can just share a word with you, and we want to welcome Terry. Say a word with you about that right off as we bring you.
Well, actually, I was on a TV show about a month ago, and as I was walking out of the area that we're filming, one of the people in the audience stopped me and said, "I love your book, and I'm buying several for my family. And we're doing an in-home Bible study, all my in-laws and I together," and that, which is, you know, that's good. You want to have your in-laws in, that's awesome. Not everyone is there. I would love that as well. And so it birthed the idea in my mind. Right now, we're getting to a place that people are buying gifts, people are really putting together in-home book studies, Bible studies on Zoom or in person. So I wanted to gift everyone with this offer. Anyone who they have to buy from me directly, you know, through an email that's right there, trainwreckemails@gmail.com. they order minimum of 12 books for their group. They get almost a 30% discount. They're getting about $10 off the book. So they can sell it to the people who come. They can charge them, the retail, or they can gift it or however they want to do it, have them buy from them. But I wanted to do something that got people together in a living room, and we could, and the book is made to walk through like a workbook, work study, that kind of thing, if you choose to, the journal's there. So I just wanted to make this special offer available or for Christmas gifts. And again, they go and order, let me know how many they want, trainwreckemails@gmail.com. And in that way, they're able to get a great discount. They buy the book at $25 instead of $34.95. So it gives them for each book. So I wanted to make that offer available because a lot of churches and groups don't know where to go to get something that's going to really benefit them. I'm teaching one every other week now in an in-home Bible study, and we are seeing mature Christians, even a few TV producers and et cetera, are there for Christian TV. Yes, God can save a producer. Awesome. And we're seeing though so many amazing results from people who thought they had worked through it. They thought they had gone through what they went through to get to where they were going, and they look up and they're still on that journey. And as things happen in layers. So I just wanted to make that offer. So thanks.
Okay. That's a great offer. It's a great offer. Well, we're going to give you right now the round of applause, and we're glad that you're with us. That's it. We're all ready and set to go. And
Okay.
just
Okay.
we'll share. We're getting into the holiday season, so we're going to go back on what you were sharing with us
Right.
and lead us away with those questions.
Well,
Great.
I feel like I'm on a holiday season after that travel through the West Coast to the East Coast. I was with all the air traffic things going right now. I have to say I'm a little nervous after that flying around the country thing. I'm like, wow. That has me nervous right now with everything going on in travel. But I really welcome this opportunity. And I want to just start with we're again talking about the holidays. And we're doing it now to help people prepare, to help people move into a place to prepare. And the best way I know to have a great holiday is to first do the prep work. And we're going to talk about what we can do for ourselves to make sure that we're taking healing into the holiday. And but I first want to mention this time of year, I do a lot, I'll just say this preface, I do a lot with people suffering from PTS or PTSD. We now call it PTS because it's not a dysfunction, it's an injury. But a lot of people have PTS through divorces, through family, childhood issues, through life, just life. And a lot of it is from, unfortunately, those who have suffered such through the service. A lot of foundations, several foundations who endorse and who help those and serve those who have served us and who are now suffering from some trauma challenges such as PTS. They have endorsed my book because one of the number one healing truths about healing PTS, number one thing is forgiveness. And even the secular studies, even the non-church, the secular studies, the ones that are not looking, we look, we believers, we look for something that's positive that we do, that we can bring forward from scripture and from faith. But here are people who are not geared that way that are saying the number one, area that you can focus on that will heal you or build your journey into the healing process is forgiveness. Number two is sleep. So, in my book, we do something called the peace experience about how to create peace. Not all people just start feeling peace at certain at the same point others do. They don't all feel peace at a certain place. There are ways to actually bring peace into our life. And we're going to be talking, later in some other sessions about the Prince of Peace for
All
Christmas. I get to do all the fun things with y'all. So I just want to mention, if you're watching and you feel trauma, you still feel the residual realities of trauma, I want to let you know that there is hope, there is healing, and there is a place for you in scripture where God reaches out, reaches down, puts his hand out, and pulls you up from the miry clay, from a place where you still may feel devastation and trauma. And I have to admit that now, 20 years after some of my calamities, and some of my calamities still happen, but some of the major ones in my life that I had to really walk through a forgiveness path on, truly, I'm realizing now that I'm more than likely, I was not diagnosed with PTS, but I have every symptom imaginable during that time. So it's not just always a box. You did this, so you feel this. It is many times the trauma of rejection in relationships, rejection by a father, childhood dishevel, creating patterns. We're going to talk about how to self-coach ourselves out of patterns that no longer serve us. If you want to know where you are in life and where you are in your growth process, the number one thing, and I know I say this on almost every one of our calls, is pay attention to patterns. You can lie to yourself, you can rationalize to yourself, you can make it up for yourself. It was them, this. We call it blame, shame, justify. We justify our actions, we blame and shame others. And we have a tendency not to be accountable for our own things. But paying attention to patterns is the thing that will never lie to us. You know, we know God never lies, but we do plenty of lying to ourselves. I mean, we camouflage the truth many times, and we've talked a lot about what is truth. Is this truth, or is this my perspective? And so I want to mention to those suffering from PTS, as well as us that are suffering from life, that are just, you know, want to have the relationships around the holidays and every day of our life. How do we reset what we call our reticular activation system, which is our RAS? The reticular activation system and massive nerves in the brain that we tell what to create, what to notice. It's like a radio that you want to find the jazz station and you turn it to the jazz station. And when the jazz station shows up, you hear it, you turn it up. That's what your reticular activation system does to your life, not just your brain. For instance, I've always wondered how come two people go to the church service and both experience go, I mean, they're dressed alike, they're in the same car, they woke up in the same room, they're sitting at church. One leaves thinking, wow, did he hit a home run or what? Man, I can still feel that sermon. And the other one's saying, that man couldn't preach himself out of a paper cup, okay? I mean, they literally are that diverse. And it's because of our expectations sometimes. Sometimes it's where our spirit is, our attitude for our gratitude. Where is our spirit? What are we looking for? What are we sensing? Where are we going with this? Do we really want to be in that place? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we expecting a certain situation to be everything for us? And we've got a lot of pastors on this call. And I'm, you know, wondering sometimes if some of our congregations or your congregations don't feel like you're supposed to bring it all. You know, you're supposed to bring it all. And I just have to say this one thing that about that, I really do believe maturity is underrated. You want to look at what is the culprit of a lot of relationships, holidays challenges, as well as our life challenges. I think we give way too much credit sometimes to enemy forces. I think sometimes it's we need to get over ourselves and we need to grow up. And lack of maturity is very much central to some holiday challenges we may have. It may be that we need to look inward and look at our patterns and et cetera. So what are we expecting when we walk in the door for the holidays? And we're going to break, you know, we're going to open this up in a minute, is what are we expecting? We've changed since the last time we saw some people. Would you all say that you've probably changed since the last time you had a family reunion, or maybe has anybody changed?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Beginning.
Ron sure changes his life.
Yeah,
I've done some reading on narcissists, that helps. Wisdom, and prayed for wisdom and gotten it in abundance.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. You know, sometimes we walk in a room of people that we have not seen for a while, Or, maybe you do see them every week, every day, or whatever. Not all of us are that fortunate to see people, that we want to see all the time when you live a long distance. And you may be thinking, wow, you've changed, I've changed. But sometimes we think they're the same. Whatever that last statement was, that last feeling was, that last experience was, may have just been whoo, a one-off. But somehow we can keep it. And we think we've done all this, evolution, all this, expansion, we've evolved, but they're just the same. And so we walk in a room sometimes with foreboding or with not all holidays are all cozy and warm to everyone. We all here on this are either pastors or coaches or whatever, coach a lot of people that the worst time of their life every year is Christmas. Believers?
Sometimes I feel that question. Do you ever get hit with that question very simply to yourself? Can I go in and sit down in this house with these people and not expect to and not want to and definitely not need to do one simple thing about anything I'm doing or what I have done or this or the other? And just be a sponge on everything they're saying. Let them pour out what they're doing in their life and listen and respond with attention and love to everything that they're saying. Can I walk out of there really pumped and joyful more than if I went out expecting everybody to hear about me? It's really simple. It sounds like that's hard. You really get excited when you hear what God's doing in somebody else's life. And that always has been a cool answer when I go into groups, even if I think some of them might be on that last word you said, Terry, that they're hanging on to from, as the Indian said many months ago, So where am I on that? What do you guys think?
I always look at Matthew 6:14-15. It's a pretty, some people take it harshly, but for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. So, and I think the point is, if we don't have that gratitude or soften our hearts to forgive those that need forgiveness, then we don't have a heart that can receive God's forgiveness. So it's a preparatory thing to receive
True. And
forgiveness.
even in scripture, that's called the tormentors. I will turn you over to the tormentors. That same scripture was one we talked about last week. And one of the versions, I think it's the King James, talks about the tormentors. And truly, people that are living in unforgiveness or have these challenges truly are living in torment in a lot of ways.
That's true.
Ron and Paul?
Go ahead, Ron.
Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm sort of same line as Craig mentioned. That's one of those scripture texts that from the Lord's Prayer, and then right after that sticks. It stuck with me early on. Most of the folks have heard my story. I was in prison because I tried to kill a man because I was an angry, unforgiving net at the time. And one of the things God convicted me of was just that. My anger and my racism and all those things were pent up in my own arrogance and unforgiveness. And the confrontation was, all right, here's all that I've forgiven you for. How dare you not forgive everyone else for anything? So that sort of began my journey of always keeping in mind, God has forgiven me. Gugab, the thing that other people never even know about, and yet he's loved me, and yet he's doing things in my life. I don't have any grounds at all not to forgive anyone else, even in and again, especially in family gatherings. Yes, there are things that are taking place and things that are happening, but I walk into the circus situation with that concept in mind. Forgive one another as God's forgiving you. And be tenderhearted and kind, and think of other people more than you think of yourselves. And that allows me to go into those environments without the tension, without the stress. I will say, quite frankly, other people are more stressed than I am because they come waiting for you to punch,
You're the
and they
first one.
go, "Wait a minute,
Yeah. They
what?"
may remember what they said more than you do, or maybe they you don't know what they said.
Well,
Yeah,
in my family, they remember the old Ron. I'm always going to
right.
beat you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And they can't
Exactly.
figure out quite. But yeah,
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. We hold ourselves. I guess in my mind, it's I hold myself to a standard that is unrealistic, and I hold other people to a standard that's unrealistic. And in all of that, I discount or distrust God. I discount what he's
Right.
done. I discount,
Right.
and don't trust what he says.
You know, I just want to say this one thing, and then Paul, we definitely want you to speak to whatever you have to share. Before we got onto this call, I received notification of some deception, to be just transparent with the whole world here. And it was business, it wasn't personal, but everything can be personal, you know. And before we started this, I said to God, God, you're bigger than this. And I think that's the whole point,
Sure.
is God is bigger than everything, everyone, every situation, and He is in us. So we have the capacity to hold everyone capable and love and have capacity, but we have our certain capacity because of who we are in Christ and who
Right.
where we have gone in our life. And so he is bigger. He knows. And I'm just saying, don't ever pray that all things be exposed. Just I'm shutting that one down. I'm like, eh, we're not going to do that again. So anyway, Paul.
Paul,
You remember that title of that book called The Diary of a Wimpy Kid? You ever see that title?
No.
Yeah, Diary of a
There was a
Wimpy
bunch of drawings, right?
Kid. Yeah, stick drawings.
How come you guys
Yeah,
know this? I
Diary
didn't
of a
get that
Wimpy
book.
Kid. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I've experienced in my life, and it takes a lot of grace to forgive. It just really does. And grace is a overused word and a misunderstood word in a lot of ways. But the grace to forgive, I think sometimes, and just thinking out loud, and it may not make a lot of sense. I think sometimes when we have found the peace in our own hearts to forgive other people, it comes across sometimes as wimpy. Like, doesn't anything ever bother you? I mean, what's wrong with you? Don't you get mad? And I mean, why don't you throw a hamburger against the wall or stomp a dog or something, kind of thing. But there is a peace that comes with getting to the place to where you can look at others or a situation, and just in your heart, in order not to destroy the peace that you have in your heart, it's easier to forgive than it is to hold a grudge. And the only one at the table, that's a skeleton is the person who holds the grudge. I mean, that's it. Everybody else over there dancing, and it's a terrible thing. But it's a I do believe that it's really a matter of strength, that you can find in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive others. Jesus himself did not say, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And there's some people that just walk around and love to make an effort to destroy everything they see, and it's hard to get through to them sometimes because they just haven't, come to that place, grace. And we are accountable. I'm not dismissing that at all. We're accountable. But like Ron said, when we realize how much we've been forgiven, how can we not turn around and offer forgiveness?
That's right. Paul, do you remember when we used to do stuff together, youth events and such? Do you remember we had life verses? Kids, a lot of times you have a life verse when you're younger. And we probably, everybody here in the room or on the screen, had Romans 8:28. Why? Because we know all things work together for good. Why? To those that love God and called according to his purpose. And that was our striving to be called according to his purpose. Then we get a little older. I had to cash mine in, is specifically at the point that Paul is saying right there, and what Ron and you guys are alluding to. And that was this, you know, yeah, we know that, we know this, but before we get to the last verses of Romans where nothing could take me from the love of God, that thing, the love of God, just picks me up and takes me to my key life, which is, you guys know, John 14, 27, as Paul alluded to. Peace I give you, my peace, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So if I've got that peace from Christ, like Paul's saying there, that peace overshadows everything. It reminds me, in the simple wimpy terms, anything over my head is under God's feet. I don't have to
There
worry.
you go.
Very
Good
much so. You know,
work.
I think the number one thing, if someone were to ask, what is the number one, how do I forgive, or what is the number one thing? I think the first thing for people that don't have an easy time forgiving, I think it takes a lot of strength and fortitude to forgive. I don't think it's a wimpy, easy thing at all. I think certain people, no matter they're believers or not, they have a hard time, a difficult, it's challenging to forgive because they don't understand forgiveness. They don't understand that really it's a gift you give yourself. It's not a gift you give anyone else, and et cetera. But I think the number one thing I would say is, have you asked for forgiveness of your Heavenly Father? The more you ask for forgiveness and really live in that place that you realize you are the forgiven, then that identity really, to me, makes a difference on how easy it is to forgive. You step into that place of humility, of asking for forgiveness. You know, we don't say, like I mentioned last week, about apologize or forgive or ask for forgiveness. We don't apologize to God. You know, that's not going to get us a lot. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, that's one thing. But to ask for forgiveness of our sins is what Scripture says. Not like, sorry, God, that kind of thing. And I do believe that asking for forgiveness and living in that place where you're so sensitive to where you are in your life, not that you're not going to go to heaven, once you're, I know we have all different belief systems on that. I believe you live in a place of asking for forgiveness from God, that you are living in a place of His forgiveness is prominent in your life, but you want to be in tune with walking in it, with it being in you. And then if His forgiveness is in you and it's so dominant, that is the thing that you are automatically giving. It's like if you watch something and you let yourself get really angry on certain things, watch too much news or something, your reflex is anger. Your reflex on something becomes what is in you, and that kind of thing. And I also think we walking into a room, when we walk into a room that may not be, we may not know what other people are going through, to realize that it is up to us to be the one. I started to say something about maturity. I really do believe that we, when we're mature in Christ, we're not going into a church service for what, just what we're going to get. I believe we go into a church service for what we're going to give. That as mature believers, we need to realize, for me at least, that we're carrying something that God has deposited in us. The pastor can't do it all. The speakers can't be it all. We are going to be connecting with people and showing love. And the same thing in our homes is this one question I wanted to ask you, and then I'd like to open, see what you think. What is the one thing you would choose to experience in your holidays this year? What is the one thing? Is it the same thing you always experience? You just have great experiences, and maybe those watching do not. I will promise you some of those watching do not, necessarily. So what is the one thing you would choose to experience that you envision experiencing in your holidays this year? And is that what you carry?
Oh, that's a question. Oh,
Mm-hmm.
Bueller, Bueller.
Come in, come in.
Attention, Ron Greer, Mr.
There you go.
McKinney,
Well,
aisle one.
yeah. Me personally, I mean, other than the fact of being around all my grandkids,
Yeah.
but yeah, I think we all would. The one thing would be, again, like you alluded to, this permeable, tangible peace in the midst of all that. So in all the songs and all the laughing and all the joking and even the conversations, there's this peaceful environment whereby it's everybody's sort of connected, if that makes any sense at all.
Very much.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting thing, that word peace. There's so much about it. The word shalom it refers to more than just a cessation of hostilities. It refers to health. It refers to a sense of well-being. There's a word that's used in the Jewish community, mashlomka, and it literally means how is your peace? How's your completeness?
Your completion, yeah,
In our
completion.
culture, I remember being in seminary. I was walking down the stairs, and another fellow was walking up. I said, "Good morning." He said, "Fine, thank you." Did we just miss each other somewhere? You know, I mean, and to ask a question, you know, how's your completeness? How's your peace? You know, Ron, my heart reverberates with what you're saying about, you know, peace. I spent a lot of seasons around a family table where there was nervousness and, you know, hope that somebody didn't get on a tirade, you know, and that kind of thing. And there have been times when some people didn't show up and you were glad, you know, because you just knew that that torment was going to come. But peace,
eggshells.
peace is such a, it can be an elusive thing, but Jesus said, "I give you my peace." As a matter of fact, he said, "This is what I'm leaving with you." And it's a gift that the world can't give to you, but I give it to you. And so here we are, these followers of Jesus, blessed with this wonderful gift called peace. And sometimes we don't know what to do with it, you know, how to live it out. So some thoughts, peace.
Paul, you made me think of Jesus asleep in the boat with the boys. And they're freaking out. They wake him up, and he's like, "Oh, guys." And just, what did he say? He said, "Peace, be still."
He's
So
still,
don't be afraid. Don't. It's exactly what you said. It's wellness, peace of mind, no stress.
There's an instance too when Jesus said, "I want you all to go across the Sea of Galilee," and then he said, "I'll meet you on the other side." That's what he said. And then all this turmoil in the middle, and it's almost like he could have said, "Where did I say that I would meet you? Not out here in the waves. I said I would meet you on the other side." And this is something I want to hear clearly. What did you say? You know, and move in response to that.
And in that same time, I believe he spoke to the wind and the waves. And in other words, he was saying, in a way, guys, I give you peace, but I give them peace too. There is nothing I don't give peace to. And the authority that he's given to us in scriptures and Mark and other areas where we can also speak that. I was in Hawaii doing some business and I was driving over this mountain and I got on the wrong road and all that. And the trees were bowing and the wind was coming in and it was dark and I didn't know where I was. And I was, you know, and I remembered that. And I said, if you said, peace be still, I can too. And I want to tell you like that, I spoke to the wind and the waves in his name, and I asked him to put them to rest. And within moments, there was no, it was utter stillness in the middle of this mountain in Hawaii on the wind side, you know, on the north side, where you have, you know, the wind, windward. And we have that everything in our life must bow to him and be in peace. And that is a beautiful thing, I think, to think of, that we're not tossed about, you know, either. And neither is that around us tossed about. It is all in the plan. And I think when we walk into these situations in holiday to have forgiven ourselves and forgiven everyone else, and willing to just walk in if those are difficult times, if there's ghost of Christmas past, so to speak, that we haven't forgiven and we haven't distanced from, that we can walk in and be love, be healing. We can take on the identity of that which we want, we choose. Because if our choice, what would you choose? And if that choice was peace, laughter, enjoyment, just a really sweet, precious time, when that takes place, what difference will that make? And I would, if I were coaching anyone here, that would mean you were paying me. And so I'm not, so I'll just say I'm saying it, not coaching, is I make a joke because they say, oh, you're coaching me. I said, no, that would mean you were paying me and you're not paying me, so I'm not coaching you. No responsibility here. Is that I would say, if I knew of one thing that would make that difference, what would that be? And for me, that one thing is forgiveness.
You know, there's one word, I bet you can remember this too. Our families, my mother would have said this over and over. It's directly what you're saying, Terry. And now my wife says it a lot of the time. Very simply, that's saying, hey, because of what you've all said, like Paul, I keep thinking about it, what you were just saying, this too shall pass. And the world says, well, yeah, and we're going to be finished when it does, but no. You're going to be right where God wants you, just as He wants you, in the grip of His grace, following His will. So this too shall pass. Like you're saying, Terry, just relax. It's going to calm down. Everything's going to be okay. And like I said, anything over my head's under His feet. So let Him handle it. And as simple as that is, based in the power that all of you are sharing, isn't it great to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, for sure. For sure.
No, I'm sorry. Go
No,
ahead. Sorry.
I'm not. No, I have nothing to say more.
One time during my lifetime, I've had some emotional ups and downs with my mom. And it seemed to me, even as a child, I used to play the violin and nobody cared. I started on the piano and nobody cared. And I didn't feel like I could do well enough for my mom. Nothing I did was good enough for her. Even when I was selected university queen of my university one semester. But that was something that was good. I felt good about that, and it still wasn't enough. So I for years, and I'm literally saying 40, probably about 30 years, I kept this turmoil and thought, why? I mean, I'm the oldest of the girls. I'm the second oldest. And so it's three sisters and then a brother on either
I
end.
got that t-shirt, yeah.
I'm the oldest, yeah. And so, I came to peace. When we moved to Arlington, had to do something. I had to forgive her for whatever. Her way of leading and guiding us, because from my older brother and I grew up up until we went to school with a different set of parents. They weren't Christians. And so if Child Protective Services had been around during that time, she would have been in jail. And many times I thought, you know what, just kill me. That's how desperate I was to see what I needed to do to have her accept me. And Joe and I have talked about that, and part of it is probably she got married at 16 and really didn't have a childhood to speak of. And so when she saw me going through my teens in high school and then being able to go to college and then later on going into seminary to get my master's degree, so I'm thinking, Lord, I've got to forgive her because she knew. Forgive her because she knows not what she's doing. Yeah, because the younger three got the opposite of what my older brother and I had. And you know, when I got to the point to forgive her, I became a better mother to my children, to my two girls.
And
And
I'll say just woman to woman, guys, you can listen to, is women are very, we know women are very competitive with each other. We don't call guys when we're going to do a foursome and say, hey, what you guys wearing? We ask the women, okay? We're competitive with the women, not with you. I don't care what you're wearing.
oh.
It's a very sad story. We're okay with it. A lot of the times, we're like, okay, fine. But women can be competitive even when they're your mother, because you're living a life that maybe she would have chosen. And,
Exactly.
we talked to people about when they're being bullied by whomever and et cetera, is this about you or is this about them? Is this about what's missing? Or this about you're living a life they would love to live? And I think a lot of mothers lack confidence. And so when they see that confidence in you, something rises up in them. But you weren't called to be enough. You were called to be everything you wanted to be. You were
Can
just
we also
called.
include mother-in-laws in there too?
We can.
I mean, not that I'm not that I know anything about that, but I'm
You're
just
the
saying.
pastor. You get to be right. I mean, you can add whoever you want.
Someone just wrote in the chat line, who is that?
We can. And I will say this, being present, all these situations, and I know we need to move on, but is really our gift is being present.
That's right.
Our gift is not being distracted with what they said, when they said that, all those things, how they feel. They may not know of the change in you,
Yes,
but
amen.
you can put it all to rest. You can
Yes.
put it all to rest. And this is, these times are sometimes difficult. They're sometimes joyous and wonderful and lovely, and sometimes they're not. But to let them know, whoever you're walking in the room, you're carrying, we are destiny carriers. We are carriers. What we carry into the room matters. So I'll leave
Amen.
us with that.
That's it. I want to jump in for a second here. This is a good discussion. Getting the phone's going off the hook, but that's good.
Then get that woman off of there. My word, she's been
No,
here every week. Can we get a break?
no. Oh my. No, it's the last name is GRE. Let's see. I can't quite make it out here. No. Oh my.
Oh my word.
Oh, nothing like the family. Folks, you want to, Steph's not with us tonight. Do you want to say a word? Do you want me to hit this or?
If you could, sir.
You got it.
Come
No problem. Yeah, this will not be
I'll
searched.
say backslash or forward slash and I'll screw it up, so it's okay.
Whatever those are.
Yeah, right. Well, you all know on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll see where you could do something that blesses us. We want to keep the program growing and going and reaching and teaching and loving and caring in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the lives of all of you and everybody gives us the grace and opportunity to meet. When you go on our website, you'll see there's an opportunity that we could sure use help. Any gift that you might want to give, no matter how big, there's nothing too big or too small. If you can hit a donate button or hit the Venmo screen right there or the donate, it'll show you how you can just immediately make a gift there that would be a great blessing to us. And we feel the Lord will bless you back as we pray for you all the time in this area. And you could check down, you could check on the site, you could see any of our programs, anything that's coming up. And we're going to work on some new things for this in the fall. And there's my book and Ron's book. And you'll be seeing in the new year Terry's books there. You're going to be seeing some other things on there, also from Dr. Pamela and others. So thanks so much for what you have done to help us. And again, we just appreciate all that you could do to help us this way. I just want to thank everybody on this screen. You're just a blessing to my life. You really are, each and every one of you. And Terry, we want to thank you, all of us on in your team family here also for being a part of it with us. And God bless you, Dave, and the things that you're doing now and in your Bible study and all the things that are happening. It's just It's just a blessing and a pleasure to have you with us the last couple of weeks. We look forward to a couple of cool things coming to start the new year with you. And it's really going to be great there. And
Thank you.
when Steph calls, give her a hug for us. Tell her
Yeah.
we missed her, okay? And just let her know. I
Yeah.
know she's working, but and things. But each and every one of you, we thank you. I'm just going to do a closing prayer tonight and thank God with you for time's sake. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank you that your Son, who is alive and well, loves and teaches and holds us each and every day in the grip of his grace, in the arms of his love, and in the purpose he has. Father, it is so wonderful to be a part of this family and to be a part of your forever family, blood-bought, born-again believers. Guide us as we go. Help us to care about others first. Help us to hear where others hurt. Help us to be ready to reach out as you lead us with kind and loving words, where our own words will probably need to be replaced. Father, make a difference in other people's lives through each of us. That's our prayer. Thank you for Terry, what she shared. Thank you for this wonderful group of people. Thank you for each other. We pray this in Jesus' name, that lives will be changed in the coming week until we meet again. In his precious and holy name, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Hey guys, love you guys.
Thank
And
you all.
ladies and gentlemen,
Thanks,
we'll see you
Terry.
next week. Check that website that we put up for you. Go to our website and get into what Terry's got offering in these Bible studies. A lot of great things coming in as we get into the season. And I'm on my last seconds, Ron. Ron, we'll keep praying you and me for that 2-hour one, bro.
Looking
We'll get
for
there. Okay, we'll
that
make it.
donor, that big donor, major donor. Come
That's it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. God bless and keep you. We'll see you
bless you
next week.
guys. God bless
Bye-bye.
you.
See you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.